It's Wednesday. Eric is with us. Welcome on in, everybody. It's a good day. Is it a good day?
It's a good day.
Yeah?
The sun is shining. The birds are singing.
Yeah?
I'm staring out into my front yard. The rose bushes are blooming.
Yeah? Draft is 15 days away.
I'm excited for that.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah? I think that because the Cardinals did something major with DeAndre Hopkins, that there's now more intrigue to me to watch because I think they're going to be good. I don't know they're going to be good, but I think they're going to be good. And I'm tired of them drafting offensive linemen. If we go back and look at offensive linemen through the years that they've taken to try to patch this thing together, if like, I don't know, half of them had worked out, right? We'd have a pretty good offensive line in Arizona, but they haven't. Outside of DJ Humphries, and there's even people that will question offsides DJ Humphries. False start, DJ Humphries, right? So I think it's going to be a lineman, which makes sense to me.
I tend to agree. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be good, but I know they're going to be improved. And last year, even with a losing record, I thought they were far, far, far more entertaining than the Steve Wilkes era, if we could call 1 year an era. But
it was a decade. That 1 year was a decade.
Exactly, right? 3-13 felt like 3-113. But I'm looking forward to the draft, and I think people are craving, like we talked about yesterday, how many times can you watch replays of games? Like yesterday on ESPN, they were replaying Cal Ripken's streak-breaking game, and just like, okay, and then SportsCenter came on, and then they interviewed Cal Ripken, and okay, all right, I get it. Not to downplay any part of history in any sport, but we need some fresh things to kick around and debate.
Well, here's where I'm at on it. I think for our industry, if you're not being challenged right now and you're in our industry, get out. It's really not that hard. If I'm teaching my a class at Cronkite, it's like if you guys just want to walk in and have your pull-up drive spot and go walk upstairs to your press box and go downstairs and get some players' interviews and go back up and get something to eat and watch a ball game and go back downstairs and then go back up and write something about it, if that's all you want to do, get out. When I hear people in our industry say, wow, there's nothing going on, get out. There's a ton going on. You just have to work at it. The games are the easy part of this business. That's easy. There's some really cool stuff that is going on in baseball today to follow up on that I'll get to here shortly. You booked Ron Wolfley. You booked Ron Wolfley as a guest today. Why?
Because Ron, like many of the guests that I try to book for you, will give you something more than just the X's and O's and what the Cardinals are going to do. Ron will peel back the onion on pretty much anything, on the field, off the field, in his personal life.
Yep.
And he is someone that has, sort of been a mentor to me and has guided me through some hard times. So we are fans of Ron Wolfley on this show.
Well, and I'm not disputing it. I'm very much looking forward to talking to Ron. I could have talked to Ron for the entire hour today. So, guys, here's how it works behind the scenes. Eric and I play ping pong with each other on guests sometimes. Sometimes Eric says, you're doing this, and sometimes I'll say, I booked that. Sometimes I see something. We have a friend in New York City that helps us out as well. And we just kind of all collaborate together. That's the beauty of this, is collaboration. And not to, as it, use the term Eric said, peel the onion back too far on this, but the reality of this is not brain surgery. This is not rocket science. We have friends through the years in this business, and we've seen them at their highest in Ron's case. I've seen Ron, and you've seen Ron, where he is scuffling was at his lowest. And he's a pretty open book about all that and everything in between. Anybody who gets into this business or is a former athlete and says, oh, it's easy, they're not being genuine. And so I love having Ron on for that.
Yeah, we see it all the time, Brad, with athletes trying to transition out of being professional or college athletes and into real life situations where they're not playing a sport and being in the spotlight and making gobs of money. We've been down this road with several athletes.
Yeah, and they're lost souls. So, all right.
But they don't always stay lost souls.
No, they don't. That's the beauty of it. They go throw money into a restaurant. They, you know, file for bankruptcy because they put money into a restaurant, which is like throwing money into a furnace, and they want their name out front. Oh, it's really cool to have a sports bar. No, it's not. How are things going since you retired 4 months ago? Well, I bought it into a condo that my uncle said I should get into. Oh, and I'm gonna open a sports bar. Oh, and I'm playing a lot of golf. Oh, got it. How's the wife and kids? I'm playing a lot of golf. Oh, got it. Understood. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. Guys, that is with life insurance, and life happens fast. There are times in your life where you wake up and say, hey, I need to focus in a little bit more on my personal situation, whatever it may be. And life insurance, that is one of those. All you have to do is pick up your phone while you're watching us, in your cubicle, at home, wherever you are, and log on, get your free quote, and look into life insurance. Look into Peace Assured. It's a very smart plan when it talks about and get you set up for when you're not here any longer. Peace Assured. Look into Sagicor Now for all sorts of different products. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Ron Wolfie's at 10:35. Eric's going to have Bruno Fina on today for our class of 2020 athletes that are done. What did we call this again? I'm blanking on it.
2020 Vision. Of
2020
course.
Vision. I don't know. I need to take my... My Isagenix this morning. 2020 it's all, vision.
It's all over your website.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. So Bruno Fina is coming on, and Bruno is going to UCLA, right?
He is.
And he's a deep thinker, you're telling me off the air?
He is. He had a bunch of Ivy League offers. I think one of his final three choices besides UCLA was Boston College. And he's someone that you will ask Bruno a question, and he is one of the rare high school athletes that I've interviewed who will pause before answering the question. Like, he will process the question before answering the question. And he wants to listen throughout the entire interview and make sure that what he is saying isn't just the first thing that pops to the top of his head. So we had Alexandra Zelion from Millennium, and she also is, as you know, Brad, is very outspoken and a real positive energy person. And I know Bruno will give us a different perspective from his point being down in Tucson as well.
Oh, that'd be good. Okay, we're going to break a little early today because I want to have some extra time in this segment before we get to Ron to get into the baseball in Arizona and some of the things that have popped up in the last 24 hours that are thought starters, like, I hadn't thought of that. Or what would Mike Trout do because his wife is due in August? What would Garrett Cole do? His wife is due in June. What about the whole idea of when you see a baseball game, what goes on? A guy spits or a guy sweats onto a ball that gets hit and then is picked up barehanded and thrown to another guy barehanded who throws it around the diamond. Just some things to kick around on that topic. And that's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So last night, I was talking with friends in Major League Baseball. There were some people on the ownership side. There was an agent that I was conversing with. No players. A former player, too, on what about baseball in Arizona and working with the Department of Health and Human Services on doing this and pulling this off. And they said to me on the ownership and management side, you know, this probably was a trial balloon. And I hadn't thought of that yesterday. I probably should have. There's times in sports where people will throw stuff out and they'll use us to throw it out to you and they'll see, okay, what is the response? How would this play? I think in baseball's case, how would this play if they played their season here in Arizona is how would this be received while we're in the middle of a pandemic? Would there be people that would say, what is Major League Baseball thinking? This isn't safe. Yes, we need a distraction. Yes, psychologically, our country needs something to grab onto. That is what sports is for. When people can sit in their homes and watch a Garth Brooks concert, right? They can look at it and say, oh, wow, what a great distraction this is watching Garth Brooks on a Sunday night, which happened earlier this week. What is the difference between that and having a baseball game in play? The difference is obviously the number of people that it takes for baseball. Players, you have to understand this, players are going to be paid. The owners put a fund together. The players are going to be paid through June 1st. There's not going to be a check after June 1st. And how many of those players are going to say, yeah, this isn't sitting well with me because I need to get paid? So June 1st is in a very, very, very important date to have in this whole conversation. If you're talking with people about this today, put in June 1st. That's when the players are not going to see a paycheck. The idea of having clubs that are losing money because the stadiums are empty. I don't buy this one because the television contracts are obscene. The Chicago Cubs are starting a new network this year. The city of Chicago, okay, the Cubs, huge dollars at stake. They're launching this new network. They've asked Mark Grace. They're going to have Mark Grace as part of the Cubs network, and Mark's still going to do work for Fox Sports Arizona on the Diamondbacks. So there's all this money tied up in a startup for the Cubs. Baseball, MLB generates more than $10 billion with a B, dollars per year. So if they lose money, and this again goes back to crazy owners. Some owners are really good businessmen. Most of them are because how else would they have made all this money? Sometimes they have people that come alongside of them. Sometimes it's handed down to them and they have no idea what to do. And you see an ownership group implode because it's the kids and they all fight and it gets nasty and it gets ugly. Desperate times do call for desperate measures. For baseball, is this a desperation move on their part? And so you put all this together. I had somebody last night in San Diego that said, well, if they're going to be playing in a bubble in Phoenix, couldn't they move the bubble and put players on a bus and have those same players quarantined in an empty hotel in San Diego and have them go through the same thing to beat the heat? And thus you have a stadium in San Diego that's got a bubble. You have the stadium in Arizona that has a bubble. And we don't need to be playing all these minor league ballparks because they're concerned with the heat. Somewhere in there, I think, is the truth. Eric, we've been processing this since the Athletic and Jeff Passan, Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan first broke this on Sunday night. It had been talked about for a couple of weeks of some ideas. I think Derek, when we had him on last week, alluded to, yeah, there's some things that we're kicking around that are pretty creative and unique. Now that you've had some time to process this, are you still like, let's do this? Or, if I'm Mike Trout or I'm Garrett Cole and my wife is due, I don't want to be a part of this. I have to be gone for 14 days. Or a baseball gets licked, spit, whatever. That's part of the game. Are we seeing more to this that, well, maybe we should not even be discussing bringing baseball back?
I've done a 180 on it. Initially, I was all for it. But the more that you kind of think this out and extend the runway on all the different things that could go wrong, the one thing I thought about when you mentioned in the last segment, you know, pitchers licking their fingers and then rubbing up a baseball. And then how about the bat boys? Do you ever think about that? These little kids run out and grab bats. They're not wearing gloves. I mean, I'm sure if it comes to that, they will be put in batting gloves. But most little kids that go out there and grab or that take the balls out to the umpire when the umpire needs more baseballs. Like, there's so many different layers.
Fire the bat boys.
Well, I mean,
get them out of here.
Everything has to be considered, and it's only going to take one slip up, even like accidentally. Like, I don't know, a guy catches a ball and runs in, and I know there's no fans, but say there are just a couple fans or whatever, and he tosses the ball to someone, and they catch it with their bare hand, and
the chances of that happening are slim, right? They're slim. So you get rid of the golden glovers down the right field, left field line. You guys are fired. Yeah. Okay. The ushers, I'm sorry, we're going to find ways to pay you. The concessions, I'm sorry, going to find. Now, if you're a broadcaster, deal with it. You don't have to have a full crew. You have to have a skeleton crew. You cannot have 8 guys in a truck, because that's what it takes to broadcast a TV game.
But you can, but you probably can have more cameras because of the social distancing. You could put, I mean, a baseball stadium is gigantic. You could put 17 cameras inside a stadium and have the camera operators be safe.
You could, but you still have the guys down in the truck that have to switch the camera, the director, the producer, the audio person, the assistant director, the tape. I mean, you have all these bodies that fans don't see when they watch it. Yeah. Who's doing the score box, balls, strikes, all that stuff, right? And they're all paid positions. And there's runners, that there's the person who stands down on the field with Jody. And the game is over, and that camera person runs out. And that camera person has an assistant that puts a little earpiece on a player so that person can talk to Mark Grace and Jody Jackson or whoever is doing the post game. That's another body. Like, I know fans just want games to happen, but it just takes one of those people to be sick. And then that person, yeah, you're quarantined, you're out. Okay. And if that person passes it to another person, so on and so forth, and the public relations black eye, the gamble for baseball is enormous on one hand. On the other hand, if baseball does come back and come through with this, I think they have a chance to gain back some of the audience. Because I'm sitting here with you today in April without any talk of a vaccine, and I think baseball can figure it out. I don't see how football can figure it out right now. I think
selfishly, Brad, I think baseball doesn't really want the teeth of their season to be competing with the NFL and college football if there is an NFL and college season, because we've seen it before. Baseball, for the casual baseball fan, is great until football starts. And then unless the local 9 is in contention, Usually all the attention will be put towards the Cardinals or ASU or whoever.
Yeah, but I agree with you on that. But I don't see how football is going to get this figured out if there is no vaccine, or if it just disappears, because they can play games in football without anybody. It's still 22 men, and they're still grabbing on every play, and they're still sweating on every play. I don't see how basketball can figure that out unless they just play the NBA All-Star game, which is always Ole defense, right? You know, Ole, go on by for a layup. You know, yeah, we look like we're trying, we're really not. I don't see how hockey can figure it out because, again, there's sweat and guys running into each other and rough and tumble. I see how the Masters has said and golf has said, okay, we're going to start in October, and we're not going to play with fans in all likelihood. That's smart. I, of course, have been golfing a lot. I see the social distancing in golf. Anybody who wants to fight with me on social distancing in golf, you're going to lose. You're just going to lose. Sure. You either don't like golf or you just have never played it. So in baseball space, there is the attraction of, can we get back into this? Because nobody else is going to be out there. There's got to be ownerships. There's got to be guys on the ownership side saying there's that. Then there is that risk, that very, very small risk of something happening. And then it's all out the window. If the first metric is, well, I'm going to be away from my wife and my kids, I'm sorry, but it's 4 months and you're being paid a lot of money. And you may say no because you're in that position, but a lot of guys are not in the same position as Garrett Cole or Mike Trout. And I'm not going to hate on Mike Trout or Garrett Cole for wanting to be with their wives when they have the birth of a child. Both of those guys are expecting. For Garrett Cole, his first child is in June. For Trout, he's expecting a child in August. If both those guys said, no, I don't want to do this, or if I do this, I'm going to miss 3 weeks because of quarantine and being with my wife, or do you bring the whole family over and quarantine them? I mean, we're homeschooling anyways. So I guess I would look at that and say, why couldn't you homeschool your kids? But it's something where as you walk through this, the initial reaction that I've had is yes, but let's figure steps out. Now, what are those steps? But the overlying theme last night in my conversations was this was a trial balloon by baseball. And so far, it's not been met with this is a stupid idea. It's people that have said, oh, it's too hot in Arizona. They've never been out here. Beat writers, if you're going to just go off beat writers that say, oh my gosh, it's miserable in Arizona, and they cover American League teams that have never been out here or been out here once, you don't know. Yeah, it's going to be warmer than where you're from. Deal with it. Ron Wolfley is next. I'm Brad Smat. And now, as we've done over the last few weeks, while we are home showing, not homeschooling, but home showing, we bring on board another friend of the show, and that would be Ron Wolfley from 98.7 FM with Doug and Wolf in the mornings, Arizona Cardinal analyst. He joins us for a few minutes. And first and foremost, how are you, family, kids, doing? Ron.
You know, great, Brad. Thanks for asking. Really appreciate that. Different days, strange days indeed at the Wolfley compound. I will tell you that Stephanie, as you know, she's fighting breast cancer, of course, and day 13 of radiation. And she's doing very, very well. The prognosis is very strong. She is doing fantastic, and we thank God for that.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, yes, Savior, and I'm standing on the rock and just letting the light hit me in the face right now. And I've had a rough last 6 months, I would say. Yeah. In particular, and yet God continues to sustain me, secure me, and preserve me, and I'm thankful for that.
How about the kids?
Kids are doing fantastic, man. Of course, they're not going to school. They're doing it online, and they seem to be really, really enjoying it, Brad. I mean, you know, as much because we don't let them just get in front of a screen whenever they want to. We don't let them do that. It's one of the rules here. You know, they can never be in front of two screens at once, as a matter of fact. And boy, they're loving the fact they get to sit down and open a laptop and actually go to school. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what all comes out of this when it's all said and done, because I think there's going to be a lot of things that could change.
Are you teaching them? I mean, are you sitting math or science? Biology? Or... Come on.
You're joking, right? You're being funny, man. Brad says that right now. Is that it?
I'm in the same space. Like my 15-year-old comes in and says, yeah, so this algebra, yeah, I'm out. No, it's not happening. I can do 4 + 4, but no, I cannot help you with your German. I'm sorry.
No, it's just the opposite. Yeah, it's just the opposite with me, Bradley. It is like there is no way in the world you do not want me to do anything logistically for you. That's number one. And anything that involves math, that's number two. Now, if you want to sit around and you want to talk about Herman Melville and Moby Dick, and you want to talk about the greatest literatures of all time, you know, I'll sit there and I'll do that all day long. You want to talk about authors, you want to talk about writing. Oh my goodness, I love that stuff. When you start throwing numbers at me, man, it's time to run.
Yeah. The only number that you like is 4 yard gain, 27-yard touchdown catch, right? Those are the numbers that work.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, listen, it's like I always said, if you need 2 yards, I'll get you two. If you need four, I'll get you two.
What are you reading right now?
Mostly the Bible, as a matter of fact. Reading the Bible right now, also a fantasy novel written by Tad Williams. Right now called Shadow March. It's an old fantasy novel, as a matter of fact, but every now and then I like to return to J.R.R. Tolkien and go about once every decade, I would say, I read Lord of the Rings. But I love that. If I'm not gonna read a supernatural thriller, I'm probably going to read something along the lines of fantasy.
So because you are a man of faith, we're talking with Ron Wolfley, because you are a man of faith and you are well-read, you read and consume a lot, what do you make out of a pandemic?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a great question. Honestly, I don't know how to answer it. It's just something that's so bizarre because I've never experienced it. I know you've never experienced it in your life to this degree, what is going on right now. Bradley, our neighbors all over the world are experiencing the same thing we are right now. You know, it's, I'm a big believer in context, as you know. Mm-hmm. We produce, as human beings, we produce a lot of things, right? But it's not devoid of context. You produce based on the context that you're in, whatever your lifestyle is at that point in time. Context, of course, produces content. And the context in which everybody across the globe, for the most part, is living their life right now in a very similar way, and the way it's impacting production on a global scale is mind-boggling to me. It really is. And yet, at the same time, it brings the walls down, doesn't it, Bradley? It brings it down just a little bit. Whatever walls may separate us from other people, other cultures, whatever it may be, other societies, those walls are really, really coming down, and you see it for what it is. This is one planet, man, created by God. One planet, one people.
Well, and Ron, it's the socioeconomics of it, too. This is not something where affluency matters. I have friends that are in a much different financial stratosphere than maybe where I am or in other spaces, and they're being impacted. They're losing loved ones or may lose a loved one. And so this idea of I have the biggest house, I have the biggest check, I have the biggest car, that stuff doesn't matter. And I've had some people that have come into my circles here just in speaking with them in the last few weeks that have said, you know, Brad, I was all about materialism. And now I just assume get rid of all of it. If I could just have a sense of normalcy in my life, I'm going to change some things because of what we're going through.
I'm so glad that you said that because once again, one of the walls that are coming down, that's a wall right there.
Right.
Socioeconomic. There's no doubt about it. One of the walls that are coming down is the realization, oh my goodness, how are we living our lives? It's fascinating the impact this has had on all of humanity and where is it headed? I don't know, but we're going to have a front row seat.
Ron Wolfley with us for a few minutes, 98.7 FM. You can hear him in the mornings with Doug and Wolf, and Paul, of course, with the Arizona Cardinals radio network alongside of Dave Pasch. Talking football to me is fine. It is a distraction. At the end of the day, I go back to my life. Obviously, you are in a space right now with your wife's health and your kids, but the draft is 15 days away. And when I hear the angst over, wow, how are we going to do this remotely? And are hackers going to get in on Zoom calls and all that stuff? It's kind of noise to me, Ron. I mean, I get the importance of the draft. It's very important. If we're just talking football in the off season, if you can put your football helmet on for a minute, what do you make out of what's gone on here with the Cardinals?
First of all, if you're talking about their offseason, Brad, I can tell you right now, they are a better football team. On paper, they are a better football team than they were last year. It's not even close. And it also is very interesting. We don't know about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I traded the century. I'm telling you right now, that's the one thing you can say with certitude about Steve Kerman. Is he has orchestrated some of the best trades you could possibly imagine, going back to Carson Palmer, of course, Chandler Jones, it's just Kenyon Drake even last year. Just some of the trades he's been able to orchestrate has really been a strength for Steve Kime. Now, the draft, obviously, he's got to get a lot better. But this offseason, so far, with the acquisition of what I believe is a top three wide receiver in the National Football League, a guy that is going to do nothing but produce and produce touchdowns specifically over the last 3 years. No wide receiver in the National Football League has produced more touchdowns than DeAndre Hopkins. And that kind of impact that he's going to have on Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, Kenyon Drake, they've got the pieces right now offensively, I think, to go out and be one of the better offenses in the National Football League, certainly in the NFC. Now, that is a big if. And you know what? Well, this offensive line has got to be able to stay together. Blind offensive line from a year ago. They've got to be able to work together and gel just like they did last year. Yeah, you're right about all of that. But, man, on paper, it looks really, really good for the Arizona Cardinals. And it also reminds me of the Kansas City Chiefs and what the Kansas City Chiefs have done, how they've built their team. What they did is they went out on the defensive side of the ball and via trades and free agency, 7 of their 11 starters were acquired via trade or free agency. Well, you can see that's what Steve Keim is kind of doing on the defensive side of the ball as well, addressing needs on the defensive side of the ball via free agency, and he's done it with trades in the past, right? And then I want to see them draft young talent around Kyler Murray. Listen, Brad, imagine Kyler Murray. Here he is, the number overall. He's only 5'10", 207 pounds. Are you kidding me? He's too small to play. Played in all 16 games last year, right? He's going to get hurt. No, he didn't. He did not get hurt. He pulled his hamstring, and that was it. Pretty impressive right there. But the fact that this number one pick overall in the draft that plays the hardest position, in my opinion, in professional sports, the most difficult position to play quarterback in the National Football League, with all of the expectation, all of the pressure that was heaped on him, Brad, to go out and play as well as he did to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year, you got to be kidding me. That is something that is special, and that kid is special. I'm not going to call him a franchise quarterback because he's got to prove he's a franchise quarterback. And the only way you can prove you're a franchise quarterback is over time you make great decisions, not only on the field, but off the field as well. And you become a great leader, which I think he's on his way to becoming a great leader. But you've got to earn the title of a franchise quarterback. Now, the Cardinals, they think they've got their franchise quarterback. There's no doubt about it. But, man, you go ahead and surround him with young talent offensively on the offensive side of the ball. That's where I'd go after try to bring some of these young guys in that are going to grow with Kyler Murray under a rookie contract for the next 4 years.
That's a good way to put it. I'm going to let you go off that. It's good to hear your voice. I can't wait to see you in person. And hang in there. I'll be praying for you and your wife. Yeah. That's a tough deal, man. And you sound strong, and I'm sure you have some moments of worry, and I'm just here if you need a voice. That's it.
Yeah, you know what? I love you, Brad. Thank you so much for your prayers, of course, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
There's Ron Wolfley joining us for a few minutes. Eric on the other side with Bruno Fina, class of 2020. That is next.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Eric Sorensen. We appreciate Ron Wolfley, Arizona Cardinals radio analyst and morning show host for 98.7 FM here in the Valley. Always great to catch up with him. Now we turn our attention to the latest installment of our 2020 vision. We are recognizing athletes from the class of 2020 who are going to be moving on to college. One of my all-time favorite athletes to cover over the last couple of years is Bruno Fina, standout South Point Catholic offensive lineman. I think, Bruno, when you and I first met, it was last January. And at the time, I believe you had one offer, and it was Abilene Christian, or you didn't have any offers at all yet. And now we fast forward to about 15 months later, you're a UCLA signee. I got to just start by asking, off the field, how are you adapting to the new normal amidst COVID-19?
Well, obviously, it's a huge change that happened in just, you know, a weekend. We got off school on Friday, and then on Sunday, we were told, don't come back. So having that change overnight, you know, you don't see your friends, you don't see your teachers, your entire schedule is completely changed. I think the most important thing is to make sure that, you know, you keep your mental health right. You're talking with your family, you're staying busy, keeping in touch with your friends, make sure you're doing your homework. And so it has been very different, but, you know, I'm getting through it for sure.
Let's rewind a little bit to your senior season. It was a special one. I know that in the past, South Point has won state championships, but I'd argue that the 2019 Lancer version was more talented than any team that won a state championship previously. Your senior year was special. I think you played Chandler tougher than any team in the state, and that includes Saguaro. When you have a little bit of time, especially now, maybe to reflect back on your season, what's going to be your biggest takeaway?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, after that Chandler game, I was upset. But then when I got home, I said, you know, I left everything I could out there on the field. You know, there's no way I'd rather have done it. There's nothing I would have changed. So I think working hard, making sure I'm putting everything into every game, and having that feeling after a game where you say, you know what, I did everything I could. And I'm glad it went down the way it did, because they're a great team. They beat us. But, you know, I know that I did everything I could, everything I could give to that team.
We're happy to be joined by Bruno Fina. I guess now technically former South Point Catholic standout offensive lineman. Let's turn the page a little bit. UCLA is your next stop. How have they kept in touch with you during this time when we're all in isolation?
You know, just texting my coach weekly, giving him a call, just, you know, staying in touch, talking to the guys who are going in next class. You know, there's really not any visits I could have taken out there recently. I mean, especially now. So, yeah, just making sure I'm staying in touch, staying up to date.
A couple of days ago, we had Alexandra Zelaya. She's a standout basketball player at Millennium High School here in the Valley. She is signed with the University of North Carolina to play basketball, and she expressed to me that UNC had sent her like her own individual workout to keep herself physically in shape and also keep that mental edge. Has UCLA done anything? Is there like any app that you're on or anything that you can kind of try to stay in tune with what they're doing out there in California?
No, actually I don't have that. And I think all the athletes are home right now. So, but I do have the packet that they've sent me, which has all the workouts. They go 4 days a week, running twice a week, and then lifting 4 days a week. So I've been following that as much as I can, you know, doing what I can at home. So that's how I'm staying in contact with them.
Well, your dad, John Fina, obviously a standout NFL player. I'm sure the Finas have a weight room there at the house. Take us through the dungeon there.
Well, the dungeon consists of 2 dumbbells and a lot of body weight exercises.
That's it.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you been able to get out and do some cardio, or are you trying just kind of staying at home and doing your own thing?
No. So I do have a running group at Rito Park that I see twice a week. And we make sure we're staying 7 feet apart, and we just work on speed and agility, that kind of stuff.
How do you feel for some of the other student athletes at South Point? You were fortunate enough, looking back on it, that you were able to complete your football season before this pandemic took over. I know South Point usually has a really good baseball team, and I know their spring sports are really strong. Have you had conversations with some of your classmates about how they're handling basically just someone coming by and just flipping the switch off on their high school career?
I have a little bit, and you know, all I can say is that if this had happened during football season, I would have been completely devastated. You know, something you've worked for 3 years of your high school career, it's your senior season. You're there to enjoy it. You're there to show out. Maybe if you hadn't had an offer yet and you want an opportunity to continue to the next level, but you just can't, you don't have that opportunity to prove yourself. It's devastating for sure.
Have you had
I definitely feel for them.
have you had any conversations with any of the players that are still at South Point in terms of the, I don't want to say potential, but slight possibility that we may not even see high school football in 2020?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but I talked to the head coach. They're sending out play sheets. They're sending out workouts. They're staying in contact with the kids. They're doing Zoom meets with all the seniors. So they're trying to make it feel like they're still having practice as much as they possibly can.
Away from football, Bruno, this should be the culmination of your senior year, and two big things that go in sync with the culmination in the springtime of your senior year is your high school prom and graduation. I assume there is no prom. Is there any sort of walking ceremony planned at South Point, or are you guys going to do a virtual graduation ceremony?
Well, they do actually have it planned for August 4th and August 5th, which is set to change. But, if anyone can come in town, then that's when they're set to do an actual physical graduation.
But no prom?
No prom, unfortunately, no.
You bummed about that?
I am a little bit, yeah. I've talked about it a lot. And, me and some friends, we've decided we're going to throw a prom party, but there's going to be no official school prom.
Oh, okay. Do you have a date on that yet, or is that still in the works?
I actually do, yeah, I do.
Okay. All right, well, obviously, you're not going to disclose that information. I'm not going to push it on you, so. All right, last question. Yeah. As you've had time to kind of, I don't know, process everything that's happened, how do you think you're going to grow mentally going through this and this sudden change, and how everyone, not just you, but everyone in the high school community in Tucson has had to just adapt like that on the fly?
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the big things with online schooling is being self-motivated. And as you go into college, you're going to have a lot of online classes. So I think to look on the bright side, this is going to be great training for that. And you're going to learn how to motivate yourself. You're going to learn how to budget your time, get assignments in when they need to be in, and, connect with your teachers when you can't really connect with them. So, as all things, this is a challenge that we're just going to have to get through. And, we might not have a graduation. We might not have a prom, but, you don't go to high school to get a diploma. You don't go to high school just to graduate. You go because you want to learn, you want to prepare for the next chapter of your life, and you want to build relationships. And I think South Point's done a great job of that. And, we deal with what comes. We don't really have any power over it.
Really well said, as always. Hey, I really appreciate you taking some time. It's always good to see you. Best of luck with everything. Stay safe down there in Tucson, okay, Bruno?
Thank you. You too.
Talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
That's Bruno Fina. He is headed to UCLA, the former South Point Catholic Lancer, one of the better players in the state. We appreciate everyone coming in and watching the Brad Sussmat Show. I'm Eric Sorensen. Brad and myself will be back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Be safe. Talk to you soon.